Joining us now, he's up there in Long Island. Shinnecock, Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel joins us. Rex, what's going on this morning?
Morning, Mark. Getting ready for a big weekend at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so talk to me so far. I mean, what's been the difference between the two waves? It seems like it was pretty significant, and it makes it even more impressive that Dustin Johnson has a four-shot lead, considering I think he played in much worse conditions than some of the other guys at the top of the leaderboard did.
Oh, he was definitely on the wrong side of the wave, or the harder side of the wave, I guess I should say. You look at the winds that group got. They went late, early. Thursday afternoon, it was gusting to 30 miles an hour. I mean, the USGA was worried the course would become unplayable because it was gusting so hard, it was going to be so difficult. So it gives you an idea how impressive the first round was. And then it was supposed to even out on Friday morning, but we ended up getting a little bit more wind than they expected, and that cold rain. And I mean, he told just an unbelievable story about on the second hole, the long par three. He had about 203 yards, I think, to the front edge. He knew it was into the wind. He knew it was wet. Hits a 3-iron. Doesn't make it there. Keep in mind, he hits his 3-iron 285 yards. So it gives you an idea how that golf course was playing. And so what he was able to do for two rounds, really playing on the bad side of the draw, is impressive.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about the golf course setup. I mean, in terms of, it does seem like they maybe missed it on Thursday, not necessarily thinking that they were going to have those winds in the afternoon, and maybe a little bit on Friday morning. I mean, how is the golf course playing for you? Is it playing fair? I mean, we know Shinnecock has gotten out of hand before, so kind of give me your feel of what the golf course setup looks like.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And I haven't spoken to a player this week who didn't think the setup was fair. I mean, on Wednesday afternoon, Mike Davis, the executive director of the USGA, came in, and he voiced his concerns. He talked about the things they were going to do on Thursday with the wind gust going to 30 miles an hour to try to make it as fair as possible, to allow players to continue to play. And they slowed the greens down. They switched up some pin positions they thought they might use. And, look, it's a very, very demanding golf course. And then you factor in the winds and then yesterday morning with the rain, it's going to make things very, very difficult. But in my mind, the ultimate litmus test is always what the players say about it. And I think the vast majority of players say it's hard but fair.
Yeah, okay. So as we look towards this weekend, I mean, what's the forecast looking like for today as we get as we're about a little less than an hour away from the first player teeing off? What are we looking for from a wind perspective? What are they saying?
A little bit more wind than yesterday afternoon. And now that being said, that the wave that played late yesterday afternoon played on a glorious day. If you and I are playing golf, that was the time you want to play that golf course. And so there's going to be a little bit more wind than yesterday. No rain. I think the thing that you need to keep an eye on going into the weekend, it's going to dry out. And look, like I said, we've had some rain over the last few days. The golf course is a little bit more friendly, a little bit more receptive. That's going to change. I think by the time we get to Sunday afternoon and we get the leaders on the back nine in contention, it's going to be pretty crusty. And we're going to get that Shinnecock Hills that we kind of remember from 2004.
So, if guys are going to make a move, it's going to have to come maybe earlier today. You know, 8 over par making the cut. I honestly don't think anybody from 8 over par is going to be able to make any kind of run. But how deep onto the leaderboard are you looking that maybe if Dustin Johnson is, you know, even or 1 over today, who does he let back in? And where is a kind of a number or a player or two that you're looking at that says, okay, if this guy goes out and gets some birdies going, that he might be able to make a run up the leaderboard?
Not many, and not very deep. I mean, normally, look, there's 36 holes to play. I would say that anybody within, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 strokes of the lead has a chance. But I can't come up with a scenario where Dustin Johnson is not holding the trophy on Sunday. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. This isn't over. I'm not making that kind of comment. But the fact is, you're going to have to end up with a player like a Justin Rose or a Brooks Koepka, who have a great Saturday. I mean, I'm talking about for Brooks, probably another 66. For Justin Rose, something similar to that. And that's a fantastic round on this golf course. And you're going to need some help from DJ. I mean, look, he's going to have to shoot something worse than a 70 or 71, like you just mentioned. So it's going to have to be a combination of things. And right now, the way Dustin's controlling his golf ball, the way he's just in complete control of his entire part of every part of his game, I have a hard time seeing how that happens.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about Brooks Koepka. I mean, at one point yesterday early in his round, and again, he was in the bad part of the draw as well, the harder waves, you know, he's hit 7 over par for the tournament. He gets it in at 1 under. I mean, that might be the most impressive, let's say, 13 or 14 holes of golf that was played in this golf tournament so far.
It really was. And I was really impressed when he came off the golf course on Thursday and he shot a 75. And he was kind of like, you know what? I've done this before. Of course, he won last year. I know what it takes to win a U.S. Open. I know how hard this golf course is and what I can do. You know, given myself that I had 54 more holes left and just chip away at it. Because he talked about, ended up late Sunday afternoon last year at the U.S. Open. Not really, he hadn't really done anything spectacular, and yet everything started to fall into place because he stayed patient. And I guess his point is, you don't have to be a hero to win one of these. I mean, you just have to stay patient, and you have to play solid golf coming down the stretch. So I like him. I mean, if I had to pick two or three guys that are going to be able to maybe close the gap, maybe give Dustin some sort of run, maybe, you know, show him something that makes Sunday afternoon a little bit more nervous, it's going to be Brooks. It's going to be Justin Thomas. It's going to be Ricky Fowler, who's right there again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all sitting there yesterday and we're watching Ian Poulter and getting within one shot of Dustin Johnson. And, you know, Poulter isn't going to be a guy that's going to overpower a golf course, but he's going to be the guy that we feel like is going to be a little bit more of a finesse player. He's going to, you know, hit some good pitch shots. He's going to make some putts on you. We've seen it in Ryder Cups before. He's one of those guys that just kind of grinds out these rounds. Was it shocking to watch him just make an absolute mess of his last couple holes, including a triple bogey? I mean, were you just sitting there going, what is happening? Is this bizarre world or what?
Well, yeah. I mean, you take what he had done over the first 2 days, and you didn't expect that. But I think that's kind of the nature of Shinnecock Hills. There's big numbers. There's, you know, there's really, really bad things waiting around every corner. And once you get out of position, like he did, you know, on number eight, I mean, once you get out of position, it's hard to get back into position without making one of those big numbers. Now, that being said, I mean, I think I'm actually more surprised that he's in contention. I mean, he talked about it yesterday. I mean, he, 2004, the Open that was held here at Shinnecock Hills, that was his first Open. And he goes, look, I went from hating this place and hating the U.S. Open to loving it. And it's taken him a long time. And I have to say, you have to look at the way he sort of embraced this particular test this year. And maybe it's the point in his career and a little bit more maturity. And he's really not letting the little things get to him, maybe like he had in the past. And he's doing a very good job. Even yesterday, after that finish, he was still in very good spirits.
Yeah, well, I mean, so that begs the question. I mean, Dustin Johnson really hasn't put himself in a spot of bother so far through 36 holes. I mean, is he hitting it well enough that we see those big numbers not happening? Or is there still a chance that, you know, a drive or two gets a little bit wayward maybe in the first nine holes today, and we see a big number by him go up? I mean, it's certainly possible, but do you realistically see something like that happening to Dustin Johnson?
Well, possible, absolutely. And look, as far as he hits it, it doesn't take a lot for him to hit it a little bit offline. And these fairways are pretty generous, but when you're hitting it 320 yards, it's only, we're talking about fraction of degrees. So, yeah, he could get in trouble. The thing that, again, this goes back to me having a hard time seeing how this whole thing plays out without Dustin hoisting the trophy again on Sunday, is even when he's gotten in trouble, I mean, he hasn't been perfect the first 2 days. He's put himself into bad positions, and every time he has played the smart play, he's played the perfect play. He's put himself back into play, given himself an opportunity for par. Maybe he makes a bogey. You know, I think he said yesterday that bogeys aren't bad. You can recover from a bogey. Don't make doubles. Don't make triples. Bogeys aren't bad. And he's done a really good job of avoiding those big numbers. So, yes, it's possible. But, again, I just don't see it happening.
Again, we're talking with Rex Hargett of the Golf Channel, and he's up there at Shinnecock and talking a little bit U.S. Open with us this morning. And, you know, Rex, when we talk about, you know, guys that have a chance, I mean, we certainly have some talent on this leaderboard. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood shot 66 yesterday, Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose. We've talked a little bit about those guys, Ricky Fowler. Let's talk about some of the guys, some of the big names that missed the cut. I mean, Jordan Spieth missing the cut, Tiger Woods missing the cut, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy. I mean, these guys didn't, I mean, I know Spieth at one point actually had it inside the cut number yesterday and then made a couple bogeys coming in, but these guys never really seemed like they were going to threaten. And I didn't get to see as much of Thursday and Friday as I wanted to on TV. From your perspective, I mean, did these guys really play that bad, or was it just the fact that they're just a touch off? And when you're just a touch off at a U.S. Open, it goes bad in a hurry.
No, they were just a touch off. I mean, that's fair. They didn't show a lot of John Rahm, so I can't really speak to him. But four out of the top 10 players in the world missed the cut. And certainly when you look at Rory, he was undone by Thursday. And like you talked about this yesterday, he was in that afternoon wave, and he wasn't prepared for the win. And he struggled there was a lot of holes that played into a crosswind. And he goes, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, he talked about I couldn't aim it far enough in the other direction to play what the wind was doing to the ball. And it's hard for a player to wrap their mind around it. He didn't feel like he played poorly. Jordan Spieth didn't feel like he played poorly. I mean, he's going down the list. Yeah, I mean, I think this golf course can get at you really, really quick if you're just a little bit off. And all those top players certainly discovered that.
Now, when we talk about Tiger Woods, I mean, I've said all along, we have to temper our expectations, and you want to see him play well, but I didn't think Shinnecock was going to be the place where we'd see Tiger really contend for a major, nor did I really anticipate at Augusta. I was kind of always pointing towards the Open Championship at Carnoustie as maybe him having a little bit more of a threat to win. I mean, what are you seeing out of his game? We saw at the Memorial, we saw great ball striking, we saw some really hideous putting. I mean, where do you really see, and is Tiger going to get back to where week in and week out we see him at consistently on top of leaderboards, or are we going to see this where sometimes we do and sometimes we don't? What do you really see happening maybe over the next 3 or 4 months?
Well, I mean, if you look at the trajectory of this current comeback, I think it's more likely that we're going to see a guy that could have a very good week, and it could be a major championship. And I don't know that I would pick one major over the other, to be honest with you. I mean, his experience at Augusta certainly plays out here. And he certainly has the grit to win the U.S. Open. I think this is going to be more the norm, where if you look at certain parts of his game over the course of this comeback, he's had great weeks driving the ball, or great weeks with his iron play, Memorial, for example. Great weeks putting it. That was more on the West Coast. He hasn't put them all together. So I think at some point along the line, if he can get him to fall all into one place, absolutely he can win again. I mean, I've seen him against the best players during this comeback, and yeah, he can do it. The trick is getting it to do it on a consistent basis. I don't know if he can do that anymore. And the one thing that I did take from this particular week is he has preached perspective, and he's preached patience throughout this entire comeback. And I think yesterday when he talked to the press after missing the cut, there was a level of aggravation in his voice that hadn't been there before. I think his expectations were very high for this week, and I will be curious to see how he rebounds from this in a couple weeks when he plays the National in D.C.
Yeah, and I wasn't picking a major. I just felt like from a time frame perspective that around a July in the Open Championship that I felt like that he might have everything kind of back in order and might be able to contend a little bit more consistently. So from that standpoint, that's kind of where I was going with that. And obviously the ball striking's going good. The putting has been suspect and maybe lost a little bit of the ball striking this week. It seems like when you work on one thing, the other thing goes. We all know how that goes, right?
Yeah, it's just like any other golfer. Absolutely. And again, he's had, if you look at his iron play at the Memorial 2 weeks ago, it was vintage. It was like 2006 Tiger Woods. And it's just getting all those pieces to fall into place at the right time.
All right, so Rex, what's your number that you're looking at on Sunday afternoon that you would kick back with an adult beverage and say, this score is safe and I'm going to win?
I think 5 under. And I know you look at where Dustin's at right now and you think, wow, you're going to tell me he's going to play 1 under the rest of the way. And, yeah, I think 5 under does it. And it's just sort of how our U.S. Open ages, right? I mean, it doesn't get easier. It just gets more and more difficult. And with the forecast and I think the way the USGA wants to set up this golf course, I think if he were to shoot 70-71 on the weekend, Dustin Johnson may win this thing in a runaway.
I agree. I was thinking, if he goes 1 under, 1 under, I don't think anybody's going to sniff him. So I'm right there with you. So, well, Rex, man, have a great weekend up there, and we'll have a great finish, and you never know. I mean, the USGA puts a new playoff into a play this year, and it could happen. You never know.
I won't be here on Monday. That's the good news. No more Monday.
That's the best part. That is true.
That's the best news I heard all week long.
Thanks a lot, Rex.